This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine craving like a really rich, deeply savory noodle dish. But you only have 25 minutes and absolutely zero meat in your fridge.
Right, which is usually a recipe for disappointment.
Exactly. I mean, in most culinary traditions, you would be entirely out of luck. You'd probably end up, ordering takeout or just settling for a bowl of cereal.
That's a sad weeknight dinner.
But in Korea, you are exactly 25 minutes away from Jajangmyeon.
It completely upends the usual rules of comfort food, doesn't it? I mean, you get this incredibly complex, glossy, satisfying meal in less time than it takes to, well, to watch a sitcom.
It's wild. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone. We are thrilled you're joining us today because our mission is to explore the culinary architecture of Jajangmyeon. Specifically, we're looking at it through the lens of you, the curious home cook who's maybe living outside of Korea.
Which is a great perspective to take.
Yeah, we're getting into exactly what you need to understand to confidently tackle this dish in your own kitchen. And we are starting firmly in the noodles category of Korean cuisine. The primary hint to help you visualize this, if you've never seen it, is simply black bean noodles.
And having that anchor is so vital. When you stand in your kitchen facing a dish from, a culinary tradition outside of your own, having a clear conceptual category like noodles immediately grounds the experience.
Hell
You
freeze.
already know the mechanics of boiling noodles, right? And you know the satisfying, comforting texture you're aiming for. It gives you a roadmap.
Okay, let's unpack this because there is a fascinating linguistic reality to how this dish translates globally. Along with the Korean name, Jajangmyeon, you will sometimes see it introduced to Spanish-speaking audiences as fideos con salsa negra.
Fideos con salsa negra,
Yeah,
yeah.
literally translated, that's just noodles with black sauce.
And that phrasing does so much heavy lifting for a home cook.
It really does.
It strips away the intimidation factor, right? You take an unfamiliar name and drop the dish directly into a recognizable framework. If you're a cook in the Americas or Europe, hearing noodles with black sauce conceptually translates the experience into something approachable. The psychological barrier to entry, it just completely evaporates.
It's brilliant, honestly. Learning a new dish really is like unlocking a new language, and knowing the conceptual translation is half the battle.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to the actual execution in the kitchen. So we know it's black bean noodles, but the question you are probably asking yourself right now is, how daunting is this to actually make?
Like, what's the actual effort level?
Exactly. Are we talking about a massive weekend project requiring specialized equipment, or is this like a reliable weeknight staple?
Well, the parameters for this dish are what make it such a revelation for the global home cook. It is fundamentally categorized as an easy dish to execute.
Okay, easy is good.
And the estimated cooking time is a mere 25 minutes. Furthermore, the spice level is explicitly mild.
Wait, 25 minutes. I have to push back there.
Go for it.
Because if this black bean sauce is supposed to be the rich, soulful foundation of the dish, how on earth do you develop that kind of deep flavor in 25 minutes?
It sounds impossible.
It does. Usually, when we talk about a dark, rich, savory sauce in Western cooking, like, I don't know, a demi-glace or a slowly simmered Sunday gravy, those sauces demand hours of attention to build complexity. You can't just conjure culinary depth in 25 minutes flat.
And that right there is a very Western culinary assumption.
Yeah.
And it's exactly why Jajangmyeon is such a genius weeknight meal.
Okay, lay it on me.
You aren't building the complexity from scratch in that 25-minute window. The heavy lifting has actually already been done for you through the magic of fermentation.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, the core ingredient, the Korean black bean paste, has been fermented and roasted long before it ever reaches your kitchen.
So the flavor is essentially preloaded into the ingredient itself.
Precisely. The depth, that earthy, salty, umami-rich complexity, it's already locked inside the paste. Your 25 minutes in the kitchen aren't spent painstakingly developing the flavor. They're spent assembling and waking it up.
Waking it up, I like that.
You're frying the paste to release its aromas, cooking your noodles, and bringing the elements together. The time was invested months ago by whoever made the paste.
That completely changes the math of weeknight cooking. It makes sense why it's categorized as easy now. You don't need years of technique to coax out the flavor. You just need to know how to properly handle the paste in the pan.
What's fascinating here is how these specific metrics, easy, quick, mild coverage, completely reframe Korean cuisine for an overseas audience.
Oh, totally.
We tend to romanticize international food, assuming that anything, quote unquote, authentic must be arduous. like requiring all day over a hot stove and techniques passed down through generations.
Like it has to be a struggle to be real.
Exactly. Jajangmyeon shatters that illusion. It positions itself as a highly accessible entry point into Korean home cooking. Something you can literally decide to make at 5:30 and have on the table by 6.
It really challenges our stereotypes. And yeah. That mild categorization does the exact same thing, I think.
Oh, definitely.
When a lot of people outside Korea think of Korean food, their minds instantly jump to bright red, fiery dishes.
Right. The gochujang and the chili flakes.
Yeah. They think of intense heat, massive amounts of chili, just, you know, sweating through a meal.
Which is fair, because that is the dominant global export of Korean food. The spicy stews, the fiery fried chicken, the fermented heat of certain kimchi.
Yeah, that's what gets the hype.
But Korean cuisine is incredibly diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And Jajangmyeon represents the deeply savory, comforting, non-spicy side of that spectrum. By being explicitly mild, it opens the door for a much wider audience.
It becomes universally appealing. I mean, it won't overwhelm a sensitive palate. It's incredibly kid-friendly. And it just removes that fear of the unknown heat factor that sometimes keeps people from trying a new cuisine at home. It is pure savory comfort.
And because it's so fast and so mild, it allows the actual mechanics of the dish to shine. You aren't distracted by heat and you aren't exhausted by the prep. You can actually focus on the ingredients and the textures.
Which brings up a fascinating point. If it's that fast and it's relying on this pre-fermented bean paste, what else is actually going into the pan? Or, well, more accurately, what is noticeably absent from the pan?
Right.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because this dish strips away something most global noodle dishes rely on completely.
The meat.
Yes. There is no pork. There is no beef. There is no chicken. And there is no seafood.
Not a single traditional animal protein is required for the baseline identity of the dish.
Which is just wild to me. I mean, noodle dishes around the world are almost always defined by their proteins. Think about it. Beef noodle soup, chicken chow mein, shrimp scampi, pork ramen.
Yeah, the meat is the headliner.
Exactly. The meat is usually the star of the show, providing both the bulk and the foundational savory notes of the sauce. But jajangmyeon explicitly kicks all of that out and actively welcomes vegetarian substitutions.
It really does.
How does a dish maintain its cultural weight and culinary identity when you remove all those heavy-hitting proteins? Aren't they usually the anchor?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture of culinary architecture, this meatless reality highlights the sheer versatility of the dish. It tells us something fundamental about where the flavor actually lives.
Okay.
In a beef noodle soup, like you mentioned, the essence is the beef broth. But in jajangmyeon, the essence is entirely locked within that black bean sauce.
Because of that intense fermentation we talked about.
Exactly. The deep umami of the fermented beans mimics the satisfaction and mouthfeel of meat so perfectly that traditional proteins become completely unnecessary.
Wow. So the sauce is really doing all the heavy lifting. It provides the savory depth, the slight sweetness, and that rich texture that coats the noodles.
And the noodles themselves provide the physical canvas. Think about the sensory experience of a perfect bowl of jajangmyeon. You have these thick, chewy wheat noodles perfectly enrobed in this dark, glossy, almost obsidian-colored sauce.
Sounds amazing.
It is. And because that foundation of savory black bean is so remarkably strong, it becomes the perfect vehicle for any vegetarian addition you want to throw at it.
Like what?
Oh, zucchini, potato, onion, cabbage. They all just absorb that incredible sauce. The identity of the dish isn't compromised by the lack of meat, because the meat was never the defining characteristic in the first place.
That is such a liberating concept for a home cook. Mm. You're experiencing the true, unadulterated soul of the dish without worrying about, like, sourcing the perfect cut of pork belly or fresh squid. It's almost a purist's approach.
Yeah, it really proves that a plant-based foundation can be just as robust and satisfying as a meat-heavy one.
And honestly, it also radically simplifies your grocery shopping. You don't have to worry about the expiration dates on raw meat or cross-contamination on your cutting board. You're simply chopping vegetables, boiling noodles, and frying up that beautiful dark paste.
Which sounds incredibly safe and straightforward.
It does, but as freeing as that is, whenever you adapt a recipe outside of its native culture and its native ingredient supply chain, there are hidden pitfalls.
Oh, definitely.
You aren't shopping at a local market in Seoul. You're navigating the international aisle of a supermarket halfway across the world, or maybe ordering jars online. And that brings up a tricky point for the home cook. Just because we've eliminated meat doesn't mean we're totally out of the woods when sourcing these ingredients globally.
Navigating a global supply chain definitely requires a specific kind of culinary awareness.
Yeah. We've established that this is a meat-free, highly adaptable, easy dish. But there's a massive blank spot you need to be aware of. When you look at the baseline characteristics of jjigmyeon, the allergens and specific religious or dietary cautions are generally not specified.
And those two words, not specified,
yeah,
they carry a tremendous amount of weight when you're standing in a grocery store.
They really do. It's like flying without a radar. Buying an imported jar of black bean paste with unspecified allergens is like playing culinary Russian roulette with your pantry.
That's a good way to put it.
You might look at the recipe, see that it's a mild vegetarian bean dish, and assume it's completely safe for whatever dietary restrictions you or your guests have. But factory cross-contamination is a very real thing.
This raises an important question about how we interact with global food products. When a foundational recipe relies on a manufactured ingredient like black bean paste or even commercially produced noodles, the responsibility shifts entirely to you, the cook. The recipe itself just calls for the paste. But what is actually inside that specific jar you bought from the importer?
You can't just blindly trust the vegetarian or easy labels of the recipe concept.
No, you have to look at the physical product in your hand. For example, fermented bean pastes often contain wheat as a thickener or a starter.
Oh, wow. Which would be a major issue for anyone with a gluten allergy.
Exactly. And some commercial brands might use facilities that process soy, tree nuts, or shellfish alongside their vegetarian products. A dish can be conceptually vegetarian in its purest form, but the commercially available ingredients you buy to make it might contain hidden animal byproducts or non-halal, non-kosher elements used during the manufacturing process.
It's a crucial reminder that a recipe is just a blueprint. The physical building materials you use to construct the dish in your own home require your scrutiny.
You have to read your labels.
You really do. You have to verify your specific brands against your own dietary needs. The concept of jjigmyeon doesn't require meat, but you have to make sure the jar of sauce you bought respects that rule.
It's an active partnership between the traditional culinary concept and the reality of your local grocery store. It doesn't take away from the dish being incredibly easy to make. It just means you have to be a mindful consumer before you start cooking.
Right. It's a quick, practical check, not a massive barrier to entry. Once you've verified your ingredients, you're still only looking at that rapid 25 minutes of cooking time.
Yep. Still quick and easy.
So we've covered a massive amount of ground today exploring this fantastic Korean noodle dish. Let's gather up the most important nuggets of knowledge so you can take them straight to your kitchen tonight.
To summarize the key mechanics we've explored, jjigmyeon, which you can easily identify globally as black bean noodles, is a highly approachable entry into Korean cuisine. It boasts an easy difficulty level and a rapid 25-minute cook time, making it an ideal candidate for your weeknight rotation.
And it utilizes a deeply savory, mild flavor profile. It really shatters the myth that all international dishes must be intensely spicy or require hours of complex flavor development.
Right. The fermentation of the black bean does the heavy lifting for you long before you ever turn on your stove.
Furthermore, the baseline of the dish strips away all traditional meats. No pork, beef, chicken, or seafood, proving that the robust flavor lives entirely in the sauce. This makes it a perfect, satisfying canvas for vegetarian cooking.
But because specific allergens and dietary cautions are not inherently specified in the general concept of the dish, you must keep a mindful eye and read the labels on the packaged ingredients you source locally to avoid hidden wheat, soy, or cross-contamination.
You are the final quality control check in your own kitchen.
Always.
So what does this all mean? We started today talking about a dish that felt completely foreign, and we conceptually translated it into noodles with black sauce.
Yeah, bringing it back to the familiar.
We realized that you don't need meat to create a deeply satisfying, savory meal, and you certainly don't need to spend hours over a stove to develop complex flavors.
Because the fermented beans give you a massive shortcut to culinary depth.
The next time you are staring blankly into your pantry on a busy Tuesday night, completely exhausted, thinking you have absolutely nothing to make for dinner, ask yourself, do I have a package of noodles? And do I have a jar of Korean black bean paste?
And hopefully the answer is yes.
Because if you do, you might just be 25 minutes away from a culinary masterpiece. You don't need a massive grocery run, you don't need to thaw any meat, and you definitely don't need to order expensive takeout.
You just need to boil water, fry up that paste, and let the savory, mild comfort of Zhejiangmyeon completely transform your evening.
And that leaves us with a final thought to mull over. If a dish can be stripped of all meat, cooked in just 25 minutes, and still retain its cultural identity as Zhejiangmyeon, it makes you wonder, what is the true soul of your own favorite comfort food?
That's a great question.
And how much of it could you strip away before it becomes something else entirely? That is something to chew on the next time you need a quick dinner solution. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We will catch you next time.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.